welcome to the program. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And, all right, well, we survived that week. I'm just glad it's over. Glad it's over. Okay. You know, one of my very non-political friends calls me up and says, you know, I got a situation. I got to talk to you about this. No, this is serious. I mean, it was serious. It was a relationship problem. People bring me their relationship problems from time to time. He said, war almost broke out in our house when the Bachelorette was preempted by the DNC. I mean, no, so yeah, he doesn't care a rat's rear end about politics at all, but there it was. You know, they went to turn on The Bachelorette, and which is a show I don't watch, and instead of it, they got, you know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who, of course, you know, probably would not be a contestant on that program. Yeah, no, well, you know, there's shows that we as men watch for the women in our lives. There are. What's yours? Mine, I can recall. So when I was, when I got married, there was a show on TV called Gilmore Girls. Okay. And Sherry, yeah, my wife loved that show. And so I ended up watching every single episode of the Gilmore Girls there ever was. And the worst part of it was, is I kind of got into it. I mean, if you watch the show, there's a lot of conversation. There's a lot of talking. In fact, one little interesting fact about that show is that the script for every episode would be three times as long as for any average sitcom. I mean, there were so many words packed into each episode of that show that the script was manifestly thicker. And but it was a chick show. It was all about family, you know, feelings, you know, relationships, boyfriend, girlfriend, that type of stuff, family relationships. But it was a good show. But so I'm talking to my friend. I go, well, you sound kind of perturbed by this too. And he's a tough guy. He's a cop, and he's a macho guy. And he's like, yeah, well, I watch it for, you know, he watches it for his girlfriend. So you seem like you like it. And he goes, yeah, you know, I got into it. You know, what am I going to do? So there you have it. I mean, I am sorry if the DNC ruined your Bachelorette Monday. We here at Sam Nation are deeply apologetic. I don't think it was it even worth it. I mean, I think Bachelorette was probably better programming than what the DNC had on this week. And we're going to talk about it a little bit. I want to give you my thoughts and let you know kind of what I saw and also really what was missing. Because we always do that here. I try to, at the end of the week, tell you what you're missing. And even though you might know and followed him, you might have followed the news, maybe not. You definitely, if you're watching the news, if you're listening to other people, you're not necessarily getting the full story. And that's what, you know, I always try to bring you here. And I'll tell you, well, you speaking of TV shows and scripts, there's some rumblings. And I guess, to put this all into perspective, all I heard about at the RNC when I was there last week was how much discord and lack of unity there was. Right? That's all I heard of. Anytime I turned on my iPad and I went to look at what was being said by people, by all the journalists around me, right? It's all happening in real time. So imagine it's like you're in the middle of the news. You're in the middle of a news-making event. You're seeing it firsthand. But then it's really interesting to turn on your TV at night or to, you know, turn on your iPad and look at the news and read what's being said. And it's like fantasy fiction. You know, I talked about it last week. A lot of fantasy fiction writing going on. It was almost L. Ron Hubbard-esque. I mean, these people that are writing for Politico are are making stuff up. And drugs may or may not be involved. But at any rate, so I'm looking, and the thing that I always heard was the Republicans, the rancor, the discord, that it's dark, it's dark. And then I'm looking at this, you know, convention unfold in Philadelphia, and I'm looking at the Democrats, and you want discord? I mean, really. I mean, you want discord? It's a whole nother animal. It's a whole nother animal. And so one of the things that happened is at some point, I think on day three, they began to boot Bernie supporters. And you haven't really heard about this. But so Tuesday, typically Tuesdays are the day when the nominee is nominated. You have a roll call. And there was a lot of anger and angst and, you know, people that voted, you know, a lot of Bernie delegates voted against Hillary. And well, all that's covered. But then what happened on day three? As they started to quietly boot some of the more vocal Bernie supporters. And it was under the guise of, well, you're making too much noise and disruption and that type of thing. But they had to, now here's the crazy thing. They had to fill the empty seats. They had empty seats, and they were so obsessed, because of course these are Democrats, and the way it looks is everything. Never mind how it tastes or smells, but how it looks and how it feels is everything to a Democrat. It's true. It's all about feelings, right? It's how we feel and how we look. Identity politics, safe spaces, all that. It is summed up nicely, put in a box. Okay. So they had an optics problem. And they had other optics problems, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the wall, if you haven't heard about it. They had a wall, and it presented some problems. But the optics problem here was that they had empty seats, and a lot of them. And they didn't want the cameras panning, you know, they want Hillary, you know, Hillary's speech, panning the audience and seeing a giant, vast, empty bleachers. So what they did was they literally brought in seat fillers. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise, okay? So there's some ads. I think a couple of them are phony, but there was one that's convincing. Apparently, they were dumb enough to put some ads on Craigslist for seat fillers. And so there's one that looks like it might be credible. I went through these, but you know, there's one that looks like it might have been credible, but at any rate, the issue is, and I'll read it to you. Looking for 700 people to be utilized as actors during a national convention, we have a number of empty seats that will need to be filled. Okay, and look, you know, there are actual places where you go if you want to be a seat filler. For example. And this is, you know, I mean, look, if you're into The Bachelorette, you might want to go to the Oscars. And that's, by the way, a little life hack. You can get into the Oscars as a seat filler. They, Democrats, it's Hollywood exactly. You know, they, it's an optics thing. And so when at the Oscars, you know, they don't want to ever pan the audience and see empty seats. That is death to the show. Empty seats are death to the show. So what they do is they obviously send out invites and some people show and don't show. And there are also some empty seats always. And so the day of the event, they bring in people to fill. And there are entities that arrange this. So I'm not entirely convinced that these, you know, Craigslist ads that are circulating are you know, they're probably bogus. But the reality is that they did bring in people because there are a number of witnesses inside the arena that are on, that have gone on the record to say that, hey, look, we were there day one, were they there two, day three, all of a sudden all these weird people are showing up that we've never seen before. And in these conventions, you have assigned seating, or you're assigned to a section rather, not necessarily a seat, but you're assigned to a section. And you're there every day. So you start to look around you and you recognize people. And Well, I mean, of course, it's if you're at the Democrat National Committee, you're immediately counting how many minorities there are in a section, how many women, how many people with disabilities. Okay, you're doing all your profiling right off the bat, but you know and you're aware of who's in your section. And it's just like going to a sporting event. You look around you, and if you have season tickets, you start to get to know the people that are there, right? Well, suddenly day three, people are getting booted, and there's these new guys being put into their spots. And these new guys are cheering heavily. These new guys are have all the swag on, right? They've got the pro-Hillary swag, the buttons, the everything. And this is, I'm telling you, it's not a coincidence. This is all manipulation. And it shows, I mean, it shows the extent of desperation they are to maintain this narrative that they are in control. You know what? I read this and I followed this and I the thing that came into my mind is like, it's like Pyongyang. I'm looking at this and I'm going, this is like a giant North Korea rally where they bring people in and dress them up and make them, you know, put them in the red, you know, commie colors. And they all have to cheer because, you know, if they don't cheer, they're taken out back and shot. Yeah, no, it's true. This is exactly how it works. Exactly how it works. And then you've got, it was like a Pyongyang rally. You got Kim Jong-il, you know. You know what, Hillary, this is all orchestrated. I got to tell you, it's all orchestrated. So, I'll tell you how it's orchestrated right down. I'll explain the nexus between the Democrats, the party, okay, and the press. The best thing I can do, I've got a screenshot. I'm going to read to you some of these things from the screenshot that I pulled earlier this week. It's awesome. Back after this. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James. I listen to Sam Nation.
All right, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And if you're just tuning in, We're kind of getting the background scoop here on what happened this week in the DNC convention. And as always, I'm going to try to give you a little bit of an insider peek on everything that's been going on during the week. And this is the place to come on the weekends to get your fill of what's going on current event wise. Always try to give you a good look into what's going on. So the convention, it's over now. Yes, we're recovering. We talked about all the seat fillers, they had a bunch of empty seats, and you know they hired basically stooges to go fill these seats, pro-Hillary stooges. Well, actors, really, because the Bernie people started getting kicked out for being disruptive. And you would not know any of this was happening if you are consuming regular online TV, print media. But you don't. That's why you're tuned in here. So you remember day one. It all refresh your memory because that's Monday and that's a long time ago. But remember when Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the hideous congresswoman from Florida who now has been booted and officially removed as DNC chair. Yes, gone. Ding dong, gone. So, you know, so there's MSNBC. You know, and they're having an almost, you remember Baghdad Bob? Remember that guy? Oh no, nothing is going on. Everything is okay. And behind him is the most massive air assault ever, you know, in 20 years. Shock and awe. Rumsfeld, shock and awe. Baghdad is in flames, and he's standing there on camera saying, everything's fine, there's nothing to see here. Well, I think he's working at MSNBC under a pseudonym. I'm all watching this unfold, and I love watching MSNBC because I always like to see I always like to see what the opposition is thinking. And so what happened is they actually said she's getting cheered. They turn the audio off and then start to report that she's getting cheered. And I flip channels and, of course, go someplace else where I quickly figure out that she's getting booed, practically booed off stage. And no, this didn't happen on the floor. It happened at the delegate breakfast. But at any rate, it was broadcast on multiple channels. But MSNBC totally disregards it. And I always, so we're talking about the convention and going into it and getting and seeing how it's being reported, because that's what I think that's the real interesting story here. If you're a Bernie supporter right now, you're upset. And you're upset because your candidate got hosed, and he got hosed by the DNC who colluded against him. And all that came out in those hacked emails. We'll talk a little bit more about that either later today or tomorrow, Sunday at 6. But here, this is important because there's a lot of pissed off Bernie Sanders people. They feel like the DNC conspired against them. And one of the focal points of the conspiracy is that the DNC colluded with the media to whitewash Hillary and to tar and feather Bernie. And there's some pretty good evidence of it, all right? Now, with that in mind, the first day of the Democratic convention was anything but smooth. Wasserman Schultz got booed. Bernie Sanders supporters interrupted the proceedings a bunch of times. Some people walked out. I mean, come on. That's what was going on. And if you saw any of the clips, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So at the end of the day on Monday, I start doing some show prep and I'm looking at stuff and there I pull up CNN.com. Okay, top moments from DNC day one. Michelle Obama electrifies crowd. Next up, Sarah Silverman. Bernie or bust, people, you're being ridiculous. Then a quote. We don't remember this one. My family never crossed a border. The border crossed us. Was that an actress? Who said that? That was some Hollywood person. Opinion. This is the last thing. These are like the top moments from DNC day one. Trump opinion. Trump will never be presidential. And then the main story, the one that they feature with the picture. Sanders. Clinton must be president. Senator tells tearful supporters, I stand with her. You get what I'm... That's it. That was the homepage. And I screenshotted it, so I wouldn't lead you astray. My job here, I take this very seriously, is to give it to you straight. And this was crazy. This is exactly proof positive of what people have been saying for years, the mainstream media, CNN, for example, absolute shill for the Democratic Party. Unity? Hardly. Okay? By day three, they're booting Bernie supporters. Like we were talking about earlier, they're booting Bernie supporters and filling the seats with actors. They've literally, the day began with the DNC chair having to step down because all of her emails show that they colluded against Bernie. I mean, not just that, they use gay slurs, they use racist language, they made the list is long. They're talking about Bernie being an atheist and how they're going to energize Christian voters. This is Democrats talking about Christian voters. I don't know. Anyway, this is so important because it's what conservatives have been saying for years. Conservatives have been making the argument that the media is biased. And the media says, no way. We're just presenting the facts as we see them, and we're impartial. But this culture that dates back to legend, right? Legend, revered Walter Cronkite. It's absurd. It's the biggest lie ever told. I honestly give somebody more credibility if they try to tell me the earth is flat. You know, I was in Kansas the other week, and I kind of believe it. Anyway, so I don't want to belabor a point, but the Democrat, it took Bernie Sanders to and this convention to put on display in a really short, focused period of time, the extent to which the media and the Democratic Party are collusive and are absolutely dedicated. The media is dedicated to advancing the Democratic Party narrative. And you just got to know that. I'm not telling you it's, you know, CNN's a private company. They have every right to print what they want. But where this, you know, and I trust me, I believe in that. But you have to realize that when you read something on CNN, you got to put it through a filter. And the truth is the same for Fox. Because, yeah, well, you know, because of course, you know, the RNC had its favorites too in all this whole thing, didn't they? And so it's not just about favoritism. And it's not just about this convention that we're talking about and going through what happened. It really is, it's a nice, packageable, digestible summary. And I think, you know, a nice case study of what many of us has been saying for years. I tell you, you know they actually were making fun. Yeah, the DNC, some guy at the DNC, a high-level staffer, was making fun of a lady because her name was Laquinia. Now, I'd make fun of her name, too, because yeah, I always rail against this. If you're a parent, just a little side here, if you're a parent and you want to name your kids, give them some absurd name, eventually, somewhere, somebody is going to judge them. And this is, we've talked about this on the program before. This is proof positive. But anyway, so the guys, these are emails that have come out. They're making fun of the DNC is so corrupt. And still, the media's burying this. Nowhere. This was fresh news on Monday. And CNN, on its homepage, has it nowhere. They're more obsessed about Trump. He'll never be presidential. Are you kidding me? What a joke. Well, I mean, there was a series of news stories. I mean, it's overwhelmingly, they did a study. It was something like, I mean, 72% positive news stories for the Democratic National Convention versus something like 36-37% of the Republican one. And it was obvious to me when I went to the Republican convention, I saw, and I explained this last week, what you really see, the media bias that I've been talking about here, the liberal media bias was on full display because we had every conversation I had with the reporter, it seemed, for the most part, they were all liberals. For the most part, they were all judging. Remember, I told you about that gal who said all these bigots. I challenged her to explain to me what she meant by that. And she said, well, you know, those guys over there, they're wearing their cowboy hats. Absurd logical leap. But nonetheless, they came to the Republican convention with an agenda. And these same people came to the Democratic convention with an agenda, which is pro-Hillary, unity. Everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be wonderful. Kumbaya. And they had their stories pre-written and just sprinkled in some tidbits of real-time events. Would you ever run from a cop? Well, the answer is I hope not, of course, never do. But there's a guy that ran from a cop, and when I get back, I'm going to tell you why. It's going to blow your mind. Sam Herjavsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation every weekend.
And welcome back to the program. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KBC. So there's a guy who decides to take the police on a 49-mile chase. 49 miles, that's kind of far. I mean, from like L.A. to almost, well, certainly past Orange County, almost to San Diego. That's a lot. 60 miles. David McNally, 30 years old, led cars from several police agencies from Tumwater to Pierce County. Where is that? Is that Oregon? Well, anyway. So the local sheriff, dispatches a bunch of police cars, you know, chasing this guy down. And, well, one more thing I got to tell you. He's in a 1994 Mercury Sable, which I got to give it props because I think this is the first 1994 Mercury Sable this year that made it 60 miles without breaking down. But, yeah, so the sheriff's deputies try to pull him over. He took off. He's speeding. They finally catch up to him. And what would you do if you're a cop? You pull somebody over 60 miles. You go, what the hell are you doing? Why? His answer? I was bored. Can't make this stuff up. So I got to tell you, if you're bored, may I suggest Pokemon Go? Or you could watch reruns from any of the days 1 through 4 of the Democratic National Convention. What would you do? You know, I tell you, this is a problem. Imagine that you're just an innocent bystander. You've just left the Piggly Wiggly. No, we don't have Piggly Wigglies here. But you've left Albertsons, got your kids in the car, you're driving 10 and 2 on the steering wheel, everything, you're following all the rules. And some guy slams into you, just blowing a red light through an intersection. What do you do? Well, of course, there's only one thing that you do. It's the first thing you do. Well, after you pull off to the side of the road, make sure everybody's safe. But you got to call Attorney James Bergener. Sweet James is what his friends call him. And it's because he is a really good guy. And he's someone that cares. He put his heart into his cases. His cases are not just cases, they're his clients, and they become his friends. And what I have to tell you is, don't, please, when you get into something like this, and whether it's a police chase, look, or, you know, just some inattentive driver, it could be a really nice person that rear-ends you. Take it from me. Their insurance company, they won't be nice to you. And so what you need is somebody who cares about you but is going to be aggressive and will take the fight to their door. Do this. Call 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit sweetjames.com. Give him a call. He'll take care of you. Well, all right. We're talking about the convention, but also just kind of the general political layup of this week, current events, and a little bit of culture, because we always want to in the show explain to you that the culture is where it's at. And I'll explain that in a minute more, but as we get through this, because we really do, look, we don't, no political correctness, we say things just as they are here. So if you're a wilting white violet or a sensitive snowflake millennial, this is not the place for you. Unless you're recovering, of course. If you're recovering, this is like a program. It's like AA. We are AA for millennials. We need to come up with a program. You know, it could be like 10 steps. Not all 12. You know, we don't want to overwhelm you. We do 10. And we can make them baby steps. So here's a baby step. Here's something for you to think about. Because one of the most striking things for me to watch was Leon Panetta. You guys know who Leon Panetta is? Well, if you're a little bit older, you of course know who Leon Panetta is. He was Clinton's chief of staff. And before he was the CIA director and all that jazz. Leon Panetta came onto the scene in the Clinton administration. And we knew him here in California. He's a Californian. He's a Northern Californian, and he is a left-wing wingnut. And certainly I remember this vividly. In the 90s, when he came in as Clinton's chief of staff, he was one of the more left-leaning radical people in the Clinton administration. And he got a lot of grief from it, certainly. I mean, he was a character. I remember this. So imagine, my shock, when I believe on Wednesday, Leon Panetta is speaking at the Democratic National Convention. And he is, finally, somebody is talking about terrorism, right? Well, yes. Yeah, it's, by my count, more people have died of terrorist attacks in the last month than mentions of terrorism at the DNC. So there's that. But Panetta speaking, and what happens? He gets booed, which in and of itself is not that interesting because a lot of people got booed, and we talked about that last hour, and you know, but think about this. Where is the Democratic Party today versus where it was in the era of Clinton? So Clinton, we're talking, this is just 25 years ago. It's not that long ago. I'm a fairly young person, and I remember Clinton's presidency. I was coming of age during it. I was in high school and politically aware. And so Clinton was president. I remember this. I remember Panetta. And so now the thing that has happened is that the Democratic Party has shifted. And watching Hillary be coronated nominated to become president, but really coronated, is this fight. There's a fight, right, between the Democratic establishment who are older, who are more Clinton oriented. And the younger people who are, but a lot of millennials, right, who don't remember Clinton, who don't remember any of it. And to them, Panetta is establishment. He's not the reformer from California. He's not the left-wing wingnut. Missy, we remember him, right? You remember Panetta. He's not the left-wing guy that we resented in the 90s. He's somebody who represents establishments. He's the CIA. He's a warmonger. So there they are, and they're shouting at Panetta, "No more war! No more war!" And I'm mystified by this. I'm looking at this, and I'm saying to myself, no matter how many empty seats the Democrats fill with paid actors to pretend that the party's unified, fundamentally, there is a disconnect between leadership and base. And when we talk, you hear a lot about base and what is the base and what is it? And it's not on your boombox, okay? The base are the voters. Think about that. You don't win elections without the base because you need voters. And one thing that the primaries proved this time around, and if the Democrats had made it a fair fight, we probably would have had Bernie as a candidate. But what the primaries proved is no matter how much money a select few throw in, or how much influence a select few exert on the process, if the people have had it, if you and I are up to our teeth in their nonsense BS, we're not going to go along. And so the takeaway, the fundamental takeaway here from the Democratic Convention is that is that it's like that cartoon where the train is going uphill, it's careening, it's going uphill, and all of a sudden, a portion of the train separates, and another, and one side of the train is going off on a different track, and now they're, and now they go over the hill, and they're on parallel tracks, and they're separating and coming back together. There are two trains in the Democratic Party. The Republicans, and this is, you know, when you're at work and you're talking to your buddies, and your buddies are telling you, there's no way Trump's gonna win. Oh, that's hogwash. And you turn on the evening news. And Ben David Gregory is telling you, well, there's no way Trump is gonna win. And Dan Rather. Okay, tune it all out. Because here's the problem. On the Republican side, the base won. The base got their man. And we can debate whether or not that's a good thing for the country. But the voters got their way. And on the Democratic side, Hillary got picked in a smoke-filled room. And she's got less than 40% support, popular support, overall, less than 50% support in her party. And that may shift, of course, between now and the election. But it's huge. It's absolutely incredible. So we're talking about the convention, in understanding what this all means, what it means to us. Well, I'll tell you. When we come back, I'm going to tell you exactly what you can take away from this. And maybe you can win a few bets. I'll tell you how to do that, too. Because now's the time. I'm telling you, don't wait. Don't wait. Back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is James Bergener. Finally, there's a weekend radio show that doesn't suck. Listen to Sam Nation with me every Saturday and Sunday.
All right. Back. And, you know, we're talking here on Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC, about the DNC lovely festivities this past week. Giving you a little summation of it. Also, taking the major kind of, you know, result of it. What to take away from everything that happened. Because we can get lost in the weeds and you hear, oh, Michelle's speech. Oh, it was so wonderful. Oh my gosh, it was so moving. I love her. That's what my Facebook feed looked like for a whole day. I almost wanted to vomit. Because of course, we all, I mean, how short is your memory? You remember 2008? All she did, first of all, was take craps on Hillary and dump on this country. Listening to Michelle Obama in 2008, all she did was rag on this country. I despise her for it. Remember the "we are the ones we've been waiting for"? Yeah, that was deep. I don't care how many tingles Chris Matthews had going through his leg. Okay? But really, her and Barack did nothing but say how racist, how awful, how terrible our country was. And now these are the same goofballs that are accusing Trump of demagoguery. And they're all their enablers in the media are shouting about what a dark speech that was that Trump delivered at the RNC. Okay, well, too bad 70% of people that watched it thought it was spot on, but knock yourselves out, guys. So we're talking about a moment that I thought was very instructive, and that was when Leon Panetta got booed off stage. And, you know, we all remember him. We were talking about last segment about how he was, you know, Clinton's big enforcer. And he was a left-wing guy from California as chief of staff. And as chief of staff, you're one of the architects of presidential policy. And might I remind you that Panetta was such a left-wing goon, almost cost Clinton the re-election. Clinton, savvy political genius that he was, had to bring in a guy named Dick Morris. You guys remember this history? This is important. He had to bring in Dick Morris. And if you listen to if you listen to Gary Byrne, and we hope to have him on the program here soon. So he's the guy who wrote the Secret Service book. But one thing that he talks about is Clinton literally had to sneak in. He had to sneak in Dick Morris because Dick Morris was a Republican and a center-right strategist. He had to sneak him into the White House. They snuck him in as a friend. They called him a friend instead of a political advisor so they wouldn't have to put his name in the logbooks. And that was all to tiptoe around Panetta, who was really designing a left-wing program, a left-wing agenda for the president. And so here, the guy, the face of progressive Democrats in the 1990s is getting booed by a new generation of Democrats. Yeah, by millennials. And not even just millennials. I mean, gosh forbid I provide any cover for millennials, but the entire base of the Democratic Party has shifted and has shifted radically left to a dangerous place. Well, I certainly think so. And the Democratic Party has completely disregarded them, disenfranchised them, has conspired to put Hillary in. And now they're going to have a problem. Because the Republicans, for all the angst and all the, you know, all the lament of the F. Chuck Todds of the world, for all the hand-wringing that you'll see on CNN and PMSNBC, you're going to see, fundamentally, the Republicans got the base, the votership, the party votership got its candidate. And it doesn't matter that that candidate is not what the party wants. The party has to be what the people want, not the other way around. The party doesn't say, yo, listen up. This is how it's going to be, yo. The party has to say, okay, we are as Democrats, the progressive party. Republicans say we as a party are, you know, the right wing party. Okay. And now where is the zeitgeist? You know, where are our voters? Because last time I checked into Democracy, well, yeah, well, and a Democratic primary might not exactly be a true form of democracy. It's going to be like Democracy in Turkey. You vote for one party. And if you don't, you end up hogtied and naked in a room. Yeah, anyway, we'll get to that at some point too, maybe. But at any rate, the primary process should be as democratic as possible so that the party brings in candidates that appeal to its voters. And when the party handpicks a candidate that no one likes, you got a problem. But it's not just that no one likes, it's that the left in this country has radicalized. And I think this is a function of Obama. I think Obama has radicalized the left. I think that this country, elections have consequences. And Obama came into office as he promised some left-wing stuff, but he was also conciliatory in many ways to the center and to centrists. A lot of independents, a lot of centrists voted for Obama. They expected somebody to heal wounds, to bring us together. Remember that? Hope and change we can believe in. And all we got, you know, we got change. We did. We got Obamacare. We got race baiting. We got, you know, higher taxes. We got companies going out of business. We got raising minimum wage. We got, what do we got? Our country is virtually, I mean, it's a different place than it was 8 years ago. I'm sorry. And the economy having an opportunity to rebound, having an opportunity to take advantage of when you have a down, you go up. And Obama can talk all he wants about taking credit for where we are today, where we could have been is really the discussion. And here is what it is. The takeaway from this week is that before the polls get put Trump too far ahead, put some money on Trump. because already bookies are changing their minds on this. So now's the time to put money on Trump, because you've got a party. One party, the base picked the candidate. The other party, the base didn't pick the candidate, which means one party is running a candidate that was a consensus candidate that already has a proven track record of getting votes and got millions and millions more votes. Total number of votes. I'm not just talking a percentage, you know, the delta between the winner and the loser, but I'm saying just a volume of votes, right? Was able to mobilize, excite people. So much more bodies voting for him than Hillary did. And the other thing is, and it comes back to that, it just comes back to the numbers. No matter, the Obama speech, yes. It was the where we are. Oh, we're so far advanced. Now, and that Trump guy, he's just dark and he's negative and he's this, and it's not going to win elections, they say. But the problem with, and Byron York had a great article about this last week. The problem with Obama getting up there and Hillary getting up there and singing the praises of where we are now versus where we were 8 years ago is that it's not true. At least 70% of Americans surveyed, and Yorkin is already goes back through it. I mean, it's been as low as 61, but anywhere between 61 and 72% in the last 6 months, when they've run this survey and said, "Hey, do you like where we're going as a country? Do you like the direction of this country?" And averages. High averages of Americans say, no, we don't. We don't like where we're going. Get us out. I want off, out, stop the clown car. And so when the Democrats get up, pick a nominee that their base didn't want, that didn't have popular support. And then get up there and totally in tone-deaf fashion try to claim that their agenda has created prosperity and that we're in this great place and that everything's great and hunky-dory. I don't care how it looks. Again, they care about how it feels and how it looks. Because they don't... Yeah, because it's not true and it's not resonating with America. And that's the takeaway. The whole week is for naught. Now, I'm going to say one thing here really quickly. If you let yourself get caught up in this whole Trump press conference about Russia hacking, you know, Hillary's 30,000 missing emails, good. It's exactly what Trump wanted. I thought it was one of the most brilliant Trump performances ever. And the reason is smack dab in the middle of the DNC, he goes up, sucks all the oxygen out of the news cycle. He was joking, of course. I mean, he's joking, obviously, because he's saying, well, the media would love it. He knows the media is all just a shills for the Democratic Party anyway, and the media wouldn't report it even if they got it delivered on a silver platter. So it was a total joke. But it occupied the news cycle and it got everybody back to thinking about how crooked Hillary hid those 30,000 emails and has us scratching our heads over what possibly could be in those emails. So, brilliant move. Don't let that distract you. All right. It's been a great show. I don't know where the hour went. Good thing is we've got another whole hour. Tomorrow I'll be back 6 p.m. if you missed any of it or just need to capture it all again. Go to samnation.com. Get the podcast, and I will see you tomorrow. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.